If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Preaching with specific purpose.
Break up your fallow ground, because the Lord is about to come and sow righteousness.
On July 16th, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., presiding bishop of the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches, presents the 2016 Preaching Workshop. Workshop presenters will be Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., Dr. Wesley Pinnock, also Pastor Clement M. Lumpton III. Saturday, July 16th, 2016. The morning sessions will be from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. The afternoon session, 1:30 p.m. until 4 p.m. Topics will be preaching for evangelism, preaching for training, and preaching for sanctification. Registration includes materials and lunch. Call 215-885-2585, extension 314. 215-885-2585, extension 314. Register online at betheldeliverance.org. Plan now to be a part of the Preaching with Specific Purpose Workshop at the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches on Saturday, July the 16th, 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincode, PA.
There is a future glory, but there's also a present glory. Now watch what Paul says as he summarizes. He said, we are not to look at the things which are seen. It sounds a bit redundant. But don't give too much credence to the visible realm. Why? He said, because it's temporary. He said, but rather look at the things beyond the visible. Those are the things that will not change. The things that I see are subject to change. That's what temporal means. That means the misery you feel today is subject to change. It can go tomorrow. The anxiety you feel for your job will be gone tomorrow when you realize you don't have to work. Praise God. I don't have to work today. Hallelujah. It'll be short-lived because Tuesday's coming. But that's life, beloved. It is victory, trial. Victory, trial, sometimes defeat. It is going through, coming out, going through, coming out, going through, going through, going through, staying through, but coming out. And you come out differently. Where's your faith? In this entire process, Paul asks the question. The same question as Jesus, where's your faith while you're going through, while you are being persecuted, while the enemy is squeezing you, while he is attacking your finances, where's your faith? Have you fallen back into old ways of dealing with issues because your faith was in the issue? And as long as the issue stayed where you wanted it to be, you were motivated and happy. But the moment there was substantive change, you lost your motivation. As long as you have your way, you are comfortable, you are diligent, you are faithful. But the moment you no longer have your way, you just do what is necessary. God can't depend upon you. These light afflictions are but for a moment. In Hebrews chapter 11, the writer does not give us a definition of faith. He gives us a description. If you notice, when he writes this to these Hebrew converts, faith can mean a thousand things to different people. While we struggle for a definitive definition, we miss the essence of what the writer is trying to say to us. Faith is an interesting word. Like love, it's both noun and verb. It's a thing that does something. It's categorized in three, sometimes four different ways. Little faith, weak faith, great faith, and no faith. Most of you will probably say, I don't ever want to be put into a position to have no faith. But those of you with no faith are better off than those with weak faith. You say, wait a minute, what do you mean? At least they have faith. No, but it's weak. Those of you with no faith can receive faith by hearing the word of God. The more you hear the word of God, the more your faith begins to mount up. Peter walked on the water with a little faith, but he sank because that faith was so little, it could only help him start. He did not have finishing faith. One assesses the scripture, and you go to Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find something interesting in this passage. He writes and says, now faith is the substance of things that we hope for. It is the elenchos, the evidence of what we do not see. This week, the Lord was dealing with me about this faith principle, and I wanted to do what he showed me, but I knew I couldn't do it in this enclosed environment. He showed me a fireplace. I was really going to build a fire up on this pulpit. I opted not to, because your faith isn't where mine is. So I'll just have to walk you through it and hope you can see it. In my communication with God, here's what he showed me. I gathered logs. I was going to get some 2x4s from Home Depot. And in this fireplace, I stacked the logs. And I soaked the logs with lighter fluid. And then I took a match, struck the match, and tossed it in the fireplace. And the fire erupted. I said, God, what are you showing me? He said, what is faith? The log, the lighter fluid, the match. This is exactly how he said it. The log, the lighter fluid, or the match. Here's what I said. I said, it's the fire. He said, you're right. Because the fire was what I was going for. He didn't even ask me that. He asked me, was it the log, the lighter fluid, or the match? I said, it was the fire. He said, you're right. That's what you wanted. You used what you knew for what you wanted to happen. The fire was faith. Everything else was works. I did not put my faith in the works. I worked my faith. Today, you're being challenged by God to stop looking at stuff and look at results. Results. Watch this. Faith is the substance of what you hope for. Faith is what you believe for. What you believe for. I want to satisfy my thirst. That's what I want to do. In order to do that, what must I have? More than anything else. What must I have to satisfy my thirst? I'll help you with that water. This is the good part of the radio broadcast. I'm thirsty. What must I have? Somebody to... I have glasses. They have water. Those are the ingredients to satisfy my thirst. But until they bring it, I'm just going to have a full glass back there. Watch this. Everything you need, God already brought it. Where's your faith? My faith isn't in the glass or in the penta. It's in them, those ladies, or if there's a man on usher duty. It's in them bringing this to me. I can't have faith in a glass. I can't have faith in the water. I have faith in them. I have to put my faith in someone that can communicate. I can't put my faith in, God, I'm so thirsty. God will say, Ask the usher to bring you some water, or have the adjutant get the usher to bring you water. Why does God always have you put your faith away from you? Because faith is never realized until it's placed in someone capable. When Jesus was on the boat and the storm hit, they lost their faith. And they put their faith, they shifted it from Jesus to the storm. The storm now became the thing that could kill them. And it elicits a response. They cried, "Master." Why? They believed the storm could kill them. But as long as the water was calm, they didn't need faith. Just like us. As long as the money is good, as long as everything is fine, as long as there's no pain, we don't need to do anything. Just live our lives. But the moment a trial comes, the moment a friend betrays you, you want to stop coming to church. You're angry. You didn't put your faith in the right place. If I don't have my water when I come up here, I can't go back to the usher's room and yell at the glass. "Where were you?" Pick up a bottle of water. "Why weren't you on that pulpit?" And here's what they'll say. See, I grew up believing that stuff could talk. Because I was the last child, and that's what we do. And so the glass would say to me, "I didn't have anybody to put water in me and bring me up to you. Why are you fussing at me? I was on my post. I was where I should be. But the person did not bring me." Where's your faith? In the glass? In the water? Or in the person to bring it? Was your faith in your money so that when it ran out, you became depressed? If you're depressed, your faith was in your money. And the reason God allows you to continue in that place is because your faith wasn't in Him.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
05516P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Every time you say that name, something happens on the inside. Depression goes, fear dissipates, joy bells begin to ring, power flows through you. Every time you say that name,
come and experience a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God at a three-night revival with Bishop Eric Lambert of Bethel Deliverance International Church, all being held on Wednesday, July 27th through Friday, July 29th. Come to be revived, empowered, and activated to impact the world with the love and the power of God. Services begin 7:30 p.m. with dynamic praise and worship, followed by a powerful message from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. Prayer will be held prior to each service at 6:30 p.m. nightly. Don't miss this special time to continue to seek the face of the Lord. We are having revival July 27th through July 29th. Be there.